It's too darn hot. I'd like to cool with my baby tonight.
Well, we have a hot big question today, or a cool one, depending on your perspective. Do you think we rely too much on air conditioning? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, June the 8th. So are you cranking the air conditioner right now? Do you crank it on the second it gets hot outside in the spring or summer? Or do you refuse to get one or even turn it on for green reasons or personal preference? We would like to hear from you too this hour as we hear from two guests with different viewpoints. You can also vote on air and online. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, where you will also find a link to our online poll, which is also located at wpr.org/joy. Do we rely too much on air conditioning? Let me welcome our guest. Stan Cox is senior scientist at the Land Institute and author of Losing Our Cool: Uncomfortable Truths About Our Air-Conditioned World. And he also has a blog at losingourcool.wordpress.com. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Joy, I tell you, I'm having a little trouble understanding you. You're very loud through the receiver, but it's a little hard to understand.
We'll see if there's anything we can do on our end to fix that, but I'll just try to be as clear as possible.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Also with us, Arthur Diamond, professor of economics at the University of Nebraska at Omaha. He wrote a conference paper entitled Keeping Our Cool in Defense of Air Conditioning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you having the same issue with understanding my words?
I'm also getting some static, so I at least agree with Stan on that issue.
Well, that's really unfortunate. We have been having a little bit of problem with our phone system, and some tweaks were made to it yesterday to improve the situation, but I think it made it worse, unfortunately. Oh, well. I hope you can hear when I ask you, Stan Cox, first, why do you think we rely too much on air conditioning?
Well, there are a couple of problems. One, sort of the headline issue, is that as summers get hotter, as they have over the past decade or two, and as they are probably going to continue to warm up with climate change, we could be relying even more and more on air conditioning, which will mean more and more carbon emissions from power utilities, which will help ensure that summers are even hotter in the future. So there's that vicious cycle. There are also health effects and also effects on the cohesiveness of neighborhoods and communities.
Well, let us hit on these points one at a time, perhaps. Arthur Diamond, we rely too much on air conditioning, according to Stan Cox and others, and this is just going to make it hotter and hotter because of all the greenhouse gases.
Well, I think that it's too high a price to pay to give up air conditioning to address a possible problem with global warming. It seems to me as though there are other ways that we could handle any global warming problem that occurs. We could, for instance, rely more on production of electricity through other forms that don't increase the global warming. Nuclear power now has a kind of a bad rep because of what happened in Japan, but the Japan reactors were not state-of-the-art and had been criticized for a long time. If we were produced our electricity for the air conditioners that way, that would be another way to address the problem Stan's concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that we should give up our cool just because of the global warming problem.
Yeah. And is that your primary reason why you don't think we rely too much on air conditioning?
No, it's not. For me, it's a side issue. The main issue is that I believe that people should be free to choose their lifestyles and their view of the good life. And I think for many plausible views of what the good life is, air conditioning helps a lot. I think that for to write the great novel, to compose the great symphony, to carry out the great entrepreneurial project, you often need to really concentrate. You need to be focused. You need to have mental acuity. And it's awful hard to have those on a hot summer day without air conditioning.
Stan Cox, we should have the right to choose to be focused and comfortable and write our novel.
Well, yeah, I'm not calling for a ban on air conditioning, but simply to reduce our dependence on it. And certainly civilization was built without air conditioning. It's only been widespread in the past half century or so, during the time when you might say civilization has been on the wane rather than the rise. As for renewable energy, if you don't count nuclear energy as renewable, which I don't, if all renewable electricity generation in this country were to be built up fivefold, if we had five times as much solar, wind, biomass, et cetera, electricity as we do now, that still would not supply enough electricity to run the nation's air conditioning system. Mm. And that's what EPA says. By 2030, maybe we will have increased our renewable energy fivefold. By then, with what's predicted for air conditioning, that would supply about 75% of our air conditioning needs.
You want to address that, Arthur Diamond?
Well, it sounds to me as though he does believe that we could at least partially address the issue through changing the forms of electricity generation. There are other ways that we could also address the problem without giving up air conditioning. There have been some suggestions, and they're viewed as science fiction-like by some people, but there's a fellow named Nathan Myhrvold, who is used to be the chief technology officer for Microsoft and is now the head of a company called Intellectual Ventures, which does a lot of invention and is in the news quite a bit. He has suggested, he also has a PhD in physics from, I think, Princeton and a master's degree in economics. He's proposed that we could do something to simulate what has happened historically every several decades, which is when you have a major volcano, it sends out a plume of material that blocks the sun sufficiently to bring the temperature down on Earth. And he says we could do this with some innocuous blocker and at not too great an expense. So we could generate less global warming by doing things like moving toward nuclear. If that doesn't do the full job, as Stan believes, then we could do something on the order of what Nathan Myhrvold's suggesting. And he's not just the only person who's endorsed this idea. There's a couple of economists in probably what's the best-selling economics book of the last few years called Freakonomics, where they devote a chapter to Myhrvold's ideas and endorse it. But in addition, global warming is something that, especially if it happens modestly and gradually, that it can be fairly well adapted to in many ways. There have been articles published in some of the economics literature about how farmers around the world have made adjustments in their crops and their farming methods. And there have been articles in places like the New York Times about how some of the major cities are developing strategies to what they would do if water levels did go up, as some are predicting. So given enough time, and most predictions are we would have a substantial amount of time, on the order of a century, before there would be a substantial, let's say, rise in water levels, there are things that could be done. And personally, I would rather do those things if that was the only alternative. We couldn't do the first two things I'm talking about, switch to nuclear, do things like Myhrvold, Stratoshield. I'd still rather adjust to global warming than give up air conditioning.
Let's take a short pause. We are talking about the pros and cons of air conditioning as we have two guests who are debating with us today's big question. Do we rely too much on air conditioning? Arthur Diamond says no, that our air conditioning use is just fine. He is a professor of economics at the University of Nebraska at Omaha. He wrote a paper entitled Keeping Our Cool in Defense of Air Conditioning. And our other guest is Stan Cox, a senior scientist at the Land Institute and author of the book Losing Our Cool: Uncomfortable Truths About Our Air-Conditioned World. And we welcome your questions during this debate portion of the program at 1-800-642-1234, or the points that you would like our debaters to address, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post your point on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And while you're there, why don't you take our online poll. Do we rely too much on air conditioning? Well, checking the weather forecast for today, if you've got air conditioning and like to use it, you're probably going to. It's going to be another hot and humid day today. Chance of showers and thunderstorms, except for northwestern Wisconsin. Some of those storms may be severe. Highs today in the 70s in the northwest, getting into the mid-90s in the southeast. Right now around the state, temperatures are hovering around the 80-degree mark right now, except for Superior. Get this, 48 degrees in Superior right now. It really is cooler by the lake. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, with two guests debating a weather-related big question during our big question debate. Do we rely too much on air conditioning? We thought this was certainly a timely big question as record-breaking heat is affecting all of the Midwest and Wisconsin, for that matter. Yesterday, it looks like both Eau Claire and La Crosse had 100 degrees, both broke records on the particular day. This has been the hottest June in 17 years, according to the National Weather Service. Other cities throughout Wisconsin that set new high records yesterday: Milwaukee at 97. It was 95 in Madison, and that's only the fourth time that's happened since 2000. So we're in a heat wave, and we're wondering if you have turned on your air conditioning, or if you try to avoid turning on air conditioning. The pros and cons of air conditioning during this big question debate. And we have lots of callers. So, and some of the callers are going to bring up points I know that Stan Cox wanted to bring up as well. So let's go to Paul and Hubertus. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Hi. I just want to comment on the topic about air conditioning with the thought that like geothermal energy, using the earth to cool especially larger companies, manufacturing facilities that do have air conditioning. I know there's some pretty large companies in the Milwaukee area that do have air conditioning, and they could probably do. I know there are some that have geothermal fields, but they could probably implement it more. And I guess my question is, what their time for?
No, I'm sorry. I thought you wanted to say, Paul, that you thought that air conditioning was good for people's health.
Well, yeah, air conditioning is actually good for people's health in some aspects, but then there are people that don't like it because they don't feel comfortable and it affects their respiratory. But my thought is that it also creates jobs. I'm in the air conditioning field, so it does provide me with employment, so I really can't bash it at all, you know.
Oh, all right. So, yeah, it creates jobs that way. And I'm betting that our guests may not have heard everything our caller had to say. He was talking about geothermal power and using that for air conditioning, but I'm not sure we needed to get that technical. Do either of you have a comment on that?
I would have to say something about that. That's one form of technology that I think would go a distance to addressing some of Stan's worries. And I think one broader point that you can draw from geothermal, or the sort of related issue of heat pumps, is that there are ways to keep us cool that will reduce the problems he's worried about without abandoning air conditioning. We can go toward technologies that produce less global warming. And I think that the caller did, you know, that it was good to point that out. And I think even in Stan's book, he does briefly mention that there are some technologies, including some heat pump technologies that would still get us cooler, but without some of the problems.
Yeah. Well, Stan Cox, I know you thought that there were some health consequences to air conditioning that were reasons why we shouldn't use it as much. What were the health consequences?
Well, before I get to that, the idea of improved air conditioning systems is important, and I do devote the last chapter of the book to that, but most of those technologies are simply ways of air conditioning in a more energy-efficient way, and sometimes the gain in efficiency, or generally, it's not all that great, and even when it is large, it's that alone is not going to reduce the energy used by air conditioning. From 1993 to 2005, we saw a 28% increase in the efficiency of residential air conditioning equipment, which was quite an achievement. Over that same time, the average air-conditioned home increased its electricity use for air conditioning by 37%. So in other words, we were using the more efficient equipment more heavily and building larger homes and so forth. So and this is a very common effect when you increase the efficiency of a process. It often goes hand in hand with increased energy consumption. But if the question you asked on health, air conditioning has a kind of a Jekyll and Hyde quality here. Obviously, during severe heat waves for people who, through age or health status, are vulnerable, air conditioning can save lives. On the other hand, the routine, lavish use of air conditioning, which we see around us, can have negative effects. There have been in recent years studies in the U.S., several European countries, Brazil, all showing that people who work in an air-conditioned environment tend to have more doctor visits, tend to have longer hospital stays, and generally poorer health than people who don't work in air conditioning. There's also a growing amount of science showing that our bodies adjust, and our minds as well, both mentally and physically, we adjust to increasing temperatures or fluctuations in temperatures, but that living continuously in an air-conditioned environment undermines our ability to adjust to temperature.
Arthur Diamond, any thoughts on the health effects of air conditioning?
Well, there's almost always mixed effects of any new technology, but I think on balance, the effects of air conditioning on health are positive. Certainly, for people who are for the very young and the very old, for people who have respiratory problems, for people who have heart problems. These are people who are vulnerable and who are stressed by high levels of summer heat. And these are the people who, when they do not have air conditioning, are invulnerable to either severe health problems or death. There was a famous case not that many years ago, back in, I think, 2003, where close to 15,000 people in France died. And it was attributed to the lack of air conditioning in the nursing homes that these older people were living in. There are other health issues, too, besides just the mortality issues. That's the ones we tend to think of, naturally. But there's a lot of people who suffer from summer allergies. The air conditioning has allowed them to breathe in the summer without having a 3 months of total suffering. They still suffer when they go outside occasionally, but at least inside they have some sanctuary where they don't have to suffer. Now, some of the problems that have been brought up are problems that are solvable. There are occasions when the water inside the air conditioners is contaminated with a fungus or bacteria or something. But that can be solved by better air conditioners or better maintenance of the air conditioners that exist. Mm-hmm. You can clean the water more often. You can zap the water with ultraviolet to kill the fungus or the bacteria. So there are major health gains from another health. I don't know if you count this under health or under comfort, but people tend to sleep better when it's not 100 degrees in their bedroom. And sleep is something that contributes to health, but it also contributes to comfort, a sense of well-being, a reduction in aggression, a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, what about all? What about being able to sleep better at night and all that, Stan Cox?
Well, you know, it doesn't have to be 100 degrees when you're sleeping without air conditioning. We have fans and evaporative cooling, other technologies, but studies have also shown that we can have some disruption of our endocrine rhythms of compounds like cortisol in our blood, which regulate our sleeping-waking status that we're living continuously in air conditioning can disrupt that. A lot of your listeners probably remember the killer 1995 heat wave in Chicago that killed several hundred people. There was actually a more severe heat wave, a couple of them, in the 1930s in Chicago. And the in South Chicago, the death rate from heat in 1995 was actually higher than it was in the 30s, even though in the 30s nobody had air conditioning. Most people by that time had access to electric fans. So air conditioning alone, in cases where you have economic stress as well as physical stress, is not going to stop people from dying from the heat.
Let me hold you there. We have news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will continue debating today's big question. Do we rely too much on air conditioning? This is the Ideas Network. Every Wednesday at this time, we pick a timely issue facing the state or nation and find two guests to debate the issue with you. And today, it is a weather-related big question. Do we rely too much on air conditioning? We welcome your questions during the debate portion, and we will give you a chance to sound off at the end of the debate in about 10 or 15 minutes or so. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have provided a link on Facebook to our online poll. It is also located at WPR.org/joy, our website. So we are debating the pros and cons of air conditioning with two guests, and we are very happy to have them with us. Stan Cox is a senior scientist at the Land Institute. He is author of the book Losing Our Cool, Uncomfortable Truths About Our Air-Conditioned World. And Stan Cox says yes to our big question, we rely too much on air conditioning. Arthur Diamond is also with us. He is a professor of economics at the University of Nebraska at Omaha. He wrote a conference paper entitled Keeping Our Cool in Defense of Air Conditioning. And we have other callers, so let me go to Larry in Madison next. Hello, Larry.
Hello. I wanted to make some comments on large commercial buildings. And all the space in them is conditioned, so you have large foyers. They're not really usable space. You can walk around like where Joy is on the university campus and see these huge, huge atriums and things, and they're all air-conditioned. And I don't know if people realize, but a lot of these spaces, you actually have to run heat to air-condition because they do reheat. So it's kind of seems kind of absurd that they're running heaters during 95-degree weather, but they are. And also, I think that it's making the generation more dependent on air conditioning, because my uncle grew up in Chicago a long time ago, and he said that when it got really hot, people would go sleep outside in the parks. I know that's hard to imagine now, but when I was a kid, we went to swimming pools and beaches, and we dealt with hot weather, you know, partially through diet, too. People ate watermelon and cool things. And nowadays, well, maybe I'll just stay home and stay inside. You know, it's not the same.
Yeah, we're not as tough anymore, are we? Stan Cox, do you agree with our caller?
Yes, this brings up a good example of the wastage of electricity for air conditioning, especially, as he says, in large buildings. And of course, a lot of buildings have been built now so that they're utterly dependent on air conditioning and would require quite a bit of renovation to make them naturally coolable. But if there's one complaint I've heard more than any other since my book came out, it's from people who work in large office buildings saying that I'm sick of having to carry a space heater or sweater with me to work during the summer. And the polls show the number one complaint of office workers in this country is that they're too cold. The second most common complaint is that they're too hot. So we're not really controlling the indoor climate as much as we think, and we're expanding it. Dr. Diamond mentioned that some big cities are trying to adapt to climate change, make plans to be able to handle climate change better. The New York Times article on Chicago, one of the first things they mentioned is, as part of that adaptation, they're going to air condition the 750 public schools in the city. So that's the kind of shallow level of adaptation that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Professor Diamond.
Well, I share some of the puzzlement about some of the aspects of our public buildings. We just moved into a new College of Business building on my campus, and it has been there. They make quite a big deal about it being LEED certified, and I can't remember now what LEED, L-E-E-D, stands for, but it's supposedly a great honor of great environmental sensitivity. But the building is characterized by huge atriums, and the offices for faculty are smaller, and we have less individual control. In the old building we had, we each had a little dial, so this would address. I think there is a problem in that people have different preferences, as Stan mentioned. But the answer is not to do away with air conditioning. The answer is to give people more individual control over the levels of air conditioning in their environments or in their homes. And that is possible to do. And it has been done. But the strange thing is that that has been put down the list of priorities. And instead, we're building things like huge atriums with the huge expense of that, and then we're giving them a special environmental award, which is it's all very strange.
Yeah. By the way, we looked it up: leadership in energy and environmental design. So that
okay, yes.
And I agree with Dr. Diamond on this point that there's something very wrong with the way the LEED calculations are done, and it's not achieving the effect that I think is desired.
Yeah, you know, I do have a thermostat in the radio studio right now, but as my coworkers will attest, it doesn't seem to work, and it usually is either too darn hot or too darn cold in here. So,
Can I raise one other question that mm-hmm. the listener had raised, a different issue, which he said we can go outside, and people used to do that. That's possible in some places without too much problem, but if you think about inner cities where there's not necessarily a whole lot of safety, it can be dangerous to go outside. It can be dangerous to have screens even in terms of the chances of breaking in. If we think of idyllic, safe, upper-class or upper-middle-class suburbs, then some of the things that are suggested by Stan or by the caller could be alternatives. But the people who would be hurt most by trying to have these alternatives made universal would be some of the people we usually think we should be most concerned about, which are the poor and the vulnerable in the big cities.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know you also, Stan Cox, had some reasons why you thought we relied too much on air conditioning, and they were social reasons. What is the social concern with having too much air conditioning?
Well, one of the one reason is what one of the things Dr. Diamond just brought up, that we're using it as a kind of a Band-Aid to cover up much deeper social problems, and that would include this business of safety in cities, and that's one reason that more people died in 95 in Chicago than did in the 30s. But there's also another aspect of this, and air conditioning isn't the only technology causing this, but I believe it's played a very major part, is the isolation you see nowadays in cities and suburbs around the country, in which on a beautiful 80-degree summer evening, you can walk through an entire neighborhood and not see another soul and not really hear a sound except the humming of the compressors on air conditioners. Neighborhoods that I remember when I was a kid were very lively places in the summer, kids roaming up and down, adults sitting on porches visiting and so forth. This sort of culture has disappeared in the age of air conditioning, especially in the South where I grew up.
Let me get a call in. Barbara in Eau Claire. Hello, Barbara.
Hi. I have two comments. One is that I usually wait till it's in the 90s or 95 and very humid to turn on my AC, and I actually have a friend who won't come over. He thinks I'm crazy to wait that long. And so that's a problem where people don't want to come over at times. And the other is a safety factor. I don't live in a big city, but I do live alone, and it really makes me sad that at night, instead of the summer breezes coming in, I close the windows so that I can have peace of mind and turn on the air conditioning, because it would be hard to think somebody may not think of breaking in occasionally. I'm in a visible place.
Let me ask you, Barbara, why do you wait until it's 95 and hot and humid to turn on the AC?
Well, I was used to growing up with fans and playing tennis, and it was 100 degrees, and I'm watching the environmental issues as well as expense, and I feel also guilty living in a house and turning on an air conditioner for one person. And another thing, it's an old house, so I do have a very energy-efficient air conditioner system I had installed last year, which is excellent, but the ducts upstairs don't work that well. So there's a number of factors here. I mean, one person with, you know, a whole house being air-conditioned is kind of wasteful to me.
Well, you want to make her feel any better, Arthur Diamond?
Well, I guess part of this, maybe not. If she feels good about doing what she's doing, I'm fine with it. Even with Stan not wanting to use it even when it gets to be 95 or 100, I'm fine with him doing it as long as they're not saying that that's what I should be doing. I do think that if she's uncomfortable and not sleeping as well, or if she's not able to do as much as she would like to do in terms of her activities, then she's paying a price for not using it until it gets to be 90 or 95.
Yeah, I guess she was saying she felt guilty using it in a house. I
don't think she should feel guilty. Mm-hmm. Because I think there are other ways to solve the problems, as I mentioned earlier, that Stan had mentioned. So if she chooses not to do it for other reasons, but I don't think she should do it because she feels guilty. But
And Stan, you're not saying ban air conditioning either. Are you telling all of us we should, you know, really wait until it's just so oppressive we can't stand it anymore before we turn it on, or what's your message?
Well, yes, and the message of my book was not to call for a constitutional amendment to ban air conditioning or anything like that, but to try to paint a picture for people of what life without air conditioning would be like, and to point out some of the complications of our life that we have with air conditioning, and say if we can get deeper systemic change in society, we not only would not need nearly as much air conditioning, we'd have a lower energy consumption, much better life in general. So it's not something I didn't lead in the book, and I always try not to lead with saying, it's up to you. You turn off your air conditioning, and that's going to cause change. That's not the way we were going to do it. But I think if we look at what life could be like with a much less dependence on air conditioning and other energy hungry technologies, we could be encouraged to go that direction.
Let's try one more call. Jan in Marshfield. Hello, Jan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have a comment about replacing, what we did was replaced a door and 9 windows, and we have an older home. A lot of the windows we couldn't open, or they were so difficult to open, we didn't, and we do have air conditioning. And we did it last fall with the help of the stimulus program where we were reimbursed as a tax credit. And we wouldn't have done the windows. We did need to do the door, but we are amazed at the dramatic difference in comfort level in the home. The heat didn't run as much this winter. And now with the warm air or the heat that we've had, you don't feel the heat radiating through the glass. Mm-hmm. It's just wonderful. We could cool it down at night very easily until, I'd say, like the last 2 days. Now we're running the air. But
generally you don't?
We did before. Before we would have had the air on when it started warming up because we couldn't open half the windows.
I see. So with the better doors and windows, using air conditioning less. A reaction, Stan Cox?
Oh, yeah, that's great. In fact, we did the same thing recently, and it's when an improvement like that is used to reduce the amount of electricity or other energy that's being burned, then that's an efficiency that actually has benefits, as opposed to saying, okay, we've got all these nice tight windows now, we can crank it down to 68 in the summer and use the same amount of electricity. That's a different kind of response.
Mm-hmm. Quick react to that, Arthur Diamond?
Well, what Stan had said earlier was that when people do what she has done, they would just, as he says, crank it down and still use as much energy. And one thing I wanted to point out is that eventually that will stop being what would happen, because eventually people will get to their optimal temperature, and then any increases in efficiency of the sort that she was mentioning would go toward actually reducing the level of energy that's used. So his idea that increasing efficiency in general won't have a good effect, that's more of a temporary situation rather than what you'd expect in the long run from the kind of thing she's doing.
All right, well, let's get to just very brief closing remarks from both of you. It's going to be another 95-degree day in southern Wisconsin, maybe pushing 100 again. What's your message to those of us who are living in this kind of heat right now, Arthur Diamond, when it comes to our air conditioning?
Well, I'm old enough that I remember living without air conditioning when I was a child for the first 10 years or so, and I remember we were in Chicago in a hot day, and we were taken to inside a newsreel theater that showed nothing but newsreels. And I remember the exhilaration of the refreshment, the amazement of what it felt like to feel air conditioning for the first time. And I still feel that way about it. I feel like I get a lot more done of the things I want to do in my life with this wonderful technology. And I hope we find ways to make it more efficient. I hope we may find ways to make it more individualizable. But I think it leads and helps us lead good lives, creative lives. And I salute Carrier and all the people who made it possible.
And Stan Cox, what is your closing message for us?
Well, I would say in the workplace that the working people of America need to rise up and tell their employers, I'm sick of freezing to death, and use less energy to keep the workforce refrigerated. We're not like computer chips. We don't run faster when we're chilled. At home, I would encourage people to remember the adaptive model of comfort, which comfort researchers have been talking about for a number of years now, that says the range of temperatures you find comfortable is not a fixed temperature range, but it fluctuates depending on the temperatures you've been experiencing indoors and out for the past few days or weeks. Meaning that if you the air conditioning does have this drug-like quality, and if you begin some very gradual, slow withdrawal, you'll find that you're able to tolerate warm temperatures much better.
Thanks to both of our guests for being with us. Stan Cox, senior scientist at the Land Institute, author of Losing Our Cool, Uncomfortable Truths About Our Air-Conditioned World. And Arthur Diamond was also with us, professor of economics at the University of Nebraska at Omaha. He wrote a paper entitled Keeping Our Cool in Defense of Air Conditioning. Well, now you heard from both sides in this debate. It's your turn to sound off. Do we rely too much on air conditioning? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Wondering if you crank the air conditioner at the earliest opportunity, or if you refuse to get one, or if you, for green reasons or for personal preference, don't like air conditioning. It's our big question. We're asking if you think we rely too much on air conditioning. Yes or no, and why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So far in our online poll, the yeses have it. 74% of you think we do rely too much on air conditioning. 26% are saying no at this point, but you can still vote if you haven't yet. Time for you to sound off now. Chris in Blue Mounds. Hi, Chris. What do you think?
I think we rely on it too much. I think that you can, for the most part, for most of the summer, if you close your windows during the day and use curtains to keep the sun out and then open up in the evening after the sun goes down, most people generally do not need air conditioning, but it's necessary for certain populations.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And next we go to Valerie in Madison. Hello, Valerie.
Hi. Yes, I agree with the previous caller. I think we use it too much, and I think people just need to be thinking about it a little bit, and a program like this raises awareness so that they don't just immediately turn the thermostat down.
Thank you very much. And Rhonda in Green Bay is next. Hello, Rhonda.
Hello.
Yes.
I do agree with basically everybody today. I kind of think of it in this term that people basically are, I guess, we immediately need to feel something different in this society. So we turn our air conditioning on as fast as we can. Anything that's going to make us feel instantly better, we reach for it as quickly as possible without being conscious about it.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the things that we do.
Thank you very much, Rhonda. Mark on Facebook writes, I have a problem going into stores or offices that have AC blasting so much that you need to wear a coat just to stay warm in the building. We need not blast so much AC in big buildings. And Marion Duluth emails, I have wondered if there might be any negative health effects related to AC in general. For instance, sweating may be a very healthy thing to cleanse the body or just as a normal physiological action. Thanks for all of your input during this big question, and you can continue voting online at WPR.org/joy. We also have a link to our online survey poll on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.